The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello and welcome to this series on the qualities, characteristics of the Dharma. There are five of them, and today I'll do the fourth one. The first is that whatever the Dharma is, it's something that's perceivable in your perceptions. You can feel it, see it. The second is that that puts it here. It's only in the present can you really perceive things. That's where our senses are operating, here. The second is that it's immediate. It's not in the future, it's not in the past. In a sense, it's not tied to time, it's just the full present here. That's where it's found. And then it calls our attention. Here, look here, look here. Reality calls for attention. The reality inside of us, our body, hearts, and mind. If you're very sensitive, you can feel what wants attention, what wants to be cared for, attended to, or what messages need to be listened to. And then the Dharma, whatever it is, it's onward leading. And whatever it is that I'm suggesting this week, it's a form of intelligence. It's a deep intelligence, which is not our ordinary mental intelligence that we identify as being smart, capable in a kind of a conscious way. It belongs something to a deeper level of our human existence, human processing, that is closer to the sensation level of experience. It's closer to the way, the coordinated way in which all our senses operate in unison, in a sense, or in cooperation with each other, to provide a kind of deeper intelligence. To intelligence which is deeper than the conscious mind. And one that we can't really control or claim for ourselves, or we can't really engineer. We have to kind of tune into it and be in harmony with it, listen to it, go along with it. And this is the intelligence that's onward leading, and it's onward leading to two big ways. Being a human being is constantly something in process. There are developmental models of human growth that continue right up until we die. All along the whole life, we're developing and changing in all kinds of ways. And sometimes the changes we go through are deleterious. We get caught and stuck in certain things and resentments. We get caught in certain mindsets of self-criticism, or certain mindsets of somehow caught in a wound or a tightness or a belief. But in and of itself, this human system is constantly changing and moving, and it's impermanent, it's changing, but it doesn't do so randomly. It's not just a random bunch of stuff that comes together. There's a directionality. There's two primary directions that this human life can move. It can grow and develop in wonderful ways. It can grow in wholesome ways and beneficial ways. It can grow in directions to help us feel whole, complete, fulfilled. These are all words that are translations of the ancient Buddhist teachings in Pali. Wholesome, complete, and it's complete in entirety, kevala, and fulfilled, filled, suffused, sammanagata, I think it is. And these are common words, common ideas in the ancient texts that we can go in this direction. We can grow. The other is that which can be released, that which can be let go of, that which is not needed, that which is unwholesome, that which limits us, divides us, keeps us separate from ourselves. And this idea of it keeps it separate from parts of ourselves lends itself to this feeling that you can feel that it's work to be caught in what's unwholesome. It's work to be caught in attachments. It's work to be caught in resistance and fear. And so in a way where that work, it's like pushing the Sisyphus's rock up the mountainside. It's a lot of work to be pushing it up. What Sisyphus didn't realize is that maybe he realizes all too well that if you let go of the rock, it'll roll down the hill. If we let go of our attachments, the attachments will dissipate, evaporate, roll back down, will settle back into, come into wholeness again. It's work to be partial. It's work to be separated from ourselves. And so as we're practicing this deep sensitivity, deeper than what we can think about, deeper than what we can navigate through our ideas, there's a deep feeling in the sensations themselves, or in the meeting of awareness and sensations. This third entity, what arises when a sensation and awareness meet, right there, there's an intelligence, a knowing, an understanding, a message. And one of those can be, this is wholesome. This is onward leading. This is what can grow. This is unwholesome. This is what divides, limits us, separates us from ourselves, from parts of ourselves. And so we can feel where the onward leading nature is. Does this leading me onward to something deleterious? Does this leading me onward to something beneficial? And not beneficial in some kind of worldly way, but some deep existential way, deep spiritual way, deep emotional way. So there's the Dharma is that which guides us to what is wholesome, guides us to the growth, guides us to the letting go, guides us back together into the whole. So there is that deep message inside that we can get. This is here. Here is where attention wants to be. Here is where something can grow. Hold this in the light of awareness. Be with this. And I think it's very meaningful to call it light of awareness. It's a metaphor, of course, but because sunlight doesn't have any intentionality behind it, we don't think. It's not trying to make the plants grow, or trying to make the morning fog evaporate. But the effect of it, just the fact that the sun is up and shining on it, has a beneficial effect for the plants and a beneficial effect on ourselves for the fog to lift, maybe. The sunlight also sterilizes. So some things that are put in the sun get cleansed of certain kind of bacteria or something. So that the light of awareness can do a lot without it being intentional, without the engineering job. But it depends on where the attention is put. It makes all the difference in the world. And so to have this very deep sensitivity to what calls attention, what's needed right now, where's the deeper messages that arise out of the sensations that have no story involved with them, that have no big plan, no big construct of me, myself, and mine, are very, very basic and simple. But basic and simple doesn't mean they're not profound. That the Dharma, the intelligence that exists between sensations and awareness that can arise there, is the Dharma, is the deep, profound experience of being at home in this world, home in this body, being on the path of liberation, is liberation itself. To really, if liberation is not in your thinking mind, but something deep inside of you that's bigger, wider, fuller than whatever your thinking mind can think about. It's a common cliche in Buddhist circles to say, enlightenment is not what you think it is. And it's a kind of a profound statement. It's not, it's never going to be what you think about, what you think it is. It's going to be something that you experience. Enlightenment is what you experience. And it's, and there's something deep within us that wants to move towards freedom. And that's the onward leading nature that we can feel and sense. And maybe the simplest, maybe reductionalistic, naturalistic way of describing this is that it's the movement towards a vitality where tension is released. Anytime there's tension, contraction, resistance, tightness, that tension wants to be released. It's like the fist doesn't want to stay closed. The fist wants to open up in and of itself. And so this deep, deep movement to releasing all the fists in our mind, our hearts, and our body, that's the movement towards to liberation. And when it's so thoroughly and complete, and our whole being is no longer fisted in any kind of way, but released, it's profound. And it's remarkable that this can be done, that there's a messenger inside, there's information inside that can guide us in that direction. And that the message is what we talked about yesterday and today, is that which calls attention to itself. Here, this is where it's good. This is where attention is needed. And then hold it in this spacious awareness. Breathe with it, center yourself on it. Follow the instinct of where attention needs to be to allow something to unfold. Go with what feels like this is the way forward. This is the way forward. This is, we're not asked to just sit here passively without anything changing. And we're not asked to be involved in making the change. We're asked to notice where the natural movement of growth and release is found within us. And shine the light of awareness there. This is the way forward. This is the way we grow. This is the way we move towards freedom. This is the way we move towards becoming whole, the wholesome. So, thank you. And I hope that you can explore, keep exploring. Where is this in you? Find it through the day. Check in with yourself repeatedly through the day, in little pauses in the day, and ask yourself, what's calling for attention? What is it? Is it something that needs to be released, relaxed? Is it something that wants to grow and unfold? Where's the onward leading right now? If through the day you do this by closing your eyes briefly, you might discover a lot that you're overlooking just in your regular daily life. So thank you very much, and we'll continue one more day on this five qualities of the Dharma.